Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Paul White. So happy you're with me on this 20th day of June. Father's Day. We are celebrating dads. Happy Father's Day to all of the fathers out there. Happy Father's Day to my dad, Rick White, back in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. Dad is a faithful DDP listener. Love you, Dad. Thank God for you. It is I get to be with my daughter, but I won't get to be with my son. And so I'm thankful for what I do get. My son is in Missouri playing collegiate summer ball. My daughter is home, so we will celebrate, have a good time. May today, whatever your status is with your earthly father, maybe he has gone to be with the Lord. Maybe you didn't have a father you knew. Maybe you didn't have a good example of a father. Maybe your father is still with you. Maybe the relationship is contentious and fractured. Maybe you have the best of relationships. There's so many different stories that everyone brings to the table. So what I will say is we have a good, good father in our heavenly father. If you had a good earthly father, or if you had a poor earthly father, may we celebrate the good heavenly father that we have. And I pray that on everyone, a revelation of our heavenly father's love, and that you enjoy this day. All right, Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves about on the earth. The them of verse 28 is the male and female of verse 27. We're still in the sixth day of creation. And I don't want to review yesterday, but it is important to note that man was mankind, and out of him come the genders, and then God said to the genders. Now we will see these specified in Genesis 2 as Adam and Eve. We get their distinct story, their individualistic story in Genesis 2, which could be a way of saying the individual matters. It's not just the story of the broadness of humanity. It's the story of individuals within humanity. So whereas God loves the whole world, don't discount how much God loves you. That's part of why we might see that intense examination of creation in Genesis 2. But also, I really think that an overlooked aspect of this creative account right here is that once male and female are delineated in the text, then God blesses them with the instruction to be fruitful and multiply. And the reason they are to do that is to fill up the earth and subdue it so that they become the created boundaries of everything else on the planet, that they subdue. And subdue isn't dominate and destroy, but to use it to make it, to do what you can with what you've been given to make the world habitable and to make it a better place. That's part of their blessing and their command. Also to notice, and this gets lost in our rush to make, and I know I'm beating a dead horse. Let me say it again. Some of this stuff gets lost in our rush to make everything literal, is that we don't break down the nuances of some of these little things. There's a great feature of the heart of God, in my opinion, on display in Genesis 1:28. This is the first command God ever gives. And yet, when we think of God as a giver of commands, we think of God as a giver of don'ts. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. It becomes natural for us to think of commands as restrictive rather than liberating. The first command God gives in the book of Genesis, if you ask the average Christian, what's the first command God gives in the Bible? They will say, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because our predilection is don't, not do. We think in terms of commands are bad instead of commands are good. And because of that, we miss Genesis 1:28, which is the first commandment. And that first commandment is, be fruitful and multiply. In other words, enjoy one another. Literally, this is a command for the male and the female to procreate. I humorously like to say, because another command he's going to give is to eat from all the trees of the field coming up. He doesn't restrict them until he blesses them. Go eat, but don't eat this. And so I always sort of jokingly say the first commands in the garden were have lots of sex and eat lots of food, because God told them be fruitful, multiply, fill the whole earth, eat whatever you want, just don't eat that. And so it's interesting to me that, and I don't think this is something worth overlooking. It might not be anything worth spending a ton of time on, but certainly not worth overlooking, is that the sex drive and the drive to eat are two of the most powerful forces on the planet, in humankind, in mankind, and thus not coincidental that God's first command in Genesis 1 is be fruitful, multiply, eat whatever's on the earth. It's as if we're getting a sanction for these very powerful drives. We don't get parameters on them immediately. Interestingly enough, they get parameters on the eating, and they don't need parameters on sexuality yet, because it's male and female. It's just them. So there's no parameters on that, which is, I think, in some ways repeated in Hebrews' injunction that the marriage bed is pure and undefiled. In other words, that the restrictions are not within the male and the female together. The restrictions are outside of that relationship, and in, of course, marriage, which is what Hebrews reinstitutes. Now, we got a lot of that to get into over the next several days and weeks, because we'll start to break down the individuality of this creation. But be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Notice, they're to subdue it, have dominion over them, but not to destroy them. And so part of this verse is picking up the responsibility that you're not alone on the earth, and that you do have an obligation for everything around you. And in the original intent here, it's not as if they're going out to eat all of the animals on the earth. That will be something that develops in the creative thought process. And maybe that is because our first response should not be to destroy everything around us, but to preserve it. And then we can use what we need to use responsibly. At least there seems to be a little bit of that in that Genesis account. All right, plenty more. And we'll move on into another verse tomorrow. See you then. God bless.